The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I'm back and refreshed from vacation. Had a nice long weekend in Tucson. It was good. You know, I learned the MPC, so I'm going to start making my own beats here soon. Smoked a lot of motherfucking legal weed, so that was awesome. Enjoyed the hot-ass Arizona sun. So, yeah, I'm back, and I brought some football back with me. Also this week, if you're into fantasy baseball, some of our leagues started playoffs this week. I am actually in 9. Yes, you heard that right. 9 fantasy baseball leagues. And 3 of them started the playoffs this week. 1, which actually is my most important fantasy baseball league of all, is my pay league, where I can actually win some money in this one. It's called League Pay Up Suckas. And I actually did make the playoffs in this league. I am the number 4 seed, Team Crazy Crackers. I'm actually playing the number 5 seed this week, Dre's Dazzling Team. He obviously didn't create a team name. He just went with what stupid-ass Yahoo gave him. But Dre is a good competitor. He has won quite a few leagues I've played in, and this league that I'm in is a very competitive league. So right now we are tied today. We are tied. I think it's like 150.5 is what we both have right now as our score. But we are tied going into today, and it's been back and forth all week, a very close matchup, and it's crazy that it's tied going into Friday. So hopefully I'll be moving on in this league because I can win some money. The other two leagues where the playoffs began this week, I did not make the playoffs. As a matter of fact, my team was at the bottom of the barrel in both of these leagues. In both of the leagues, my teams just could not get healthy. From the jump, I had my main guys just on the injured list. From the start, there were times where I had 4 or 5 dudes at one time stuck on the injured list. So just neither of those teams could get going. And both of those leagues are very competitive leagues as well. So once you get thrown behind, you're pretty much stuck there. Now, luckily, these are keeper leagues, so I will be getting some high draft picks next year. So there's the positive outlook on those fantasy teams. But let's get right into the week that was of baseball. On Monday night, Bo Bichette of the Toronto Blue Jays had 3 home runs in one game versus the Baltimore Orioles. It's the first time he's ever had 3 home runs. As a matter of fact, Bo Bichette has been on fire the last month, so it's only fitting that he got 3 home runs, and he's helping the Toronto Blue Jays hopefully make a playoff run here the last month of the season. Then also on Monday night, Shohei Ohtani, he went 3 for 5, had 2 home runs. And in that same game, Mike Trout went 3 for 4 and also had a home run. This was in a win against the Detroit Tigers. And it was the 7th time that the both of them have had a home run in one game. So those two went off. Then on Wednesday night, the St. Louis Cardinals, who are a team who has been on fire, especially the second half of the season, they are just killing it right now. They ended up scoring 5 runs in the 9th inning with Edmonds to get the walk-off double to score the two winning runs in a walk-off win against the Washington Nationals, in which they would win 6-5. Then also, just to highlight something that's been going on in baseball this season, is Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, they don't have a lot to talk about because they're not a good team. They barely have any fans who really show up to any of their games. But right now, their pitcher, Zach Gallen, he has pitched 41 1/3 scoreless innings straight. This is only the 8th time that has ever happened in Major League Baseball since 1920. Now, if he goes scoreless in his next outing, it will immediately put him into the top 3 longest scoreless inning stretches. And I believe it's Oral Hershiser who is the number 1 the guy who owns this record. And, you know, so Zach Gallen could actually break that record this year. We'll see what happens. There's still plenty of baseball left to go, but it is crazy that Gallen plays for a horrible team who has basically nothing to play for. I mean, they have the potential to make a wild card spot, but chances are the Diamondbacks are not going to make the playoffs. So Zach Gallen, the only bright spot that the Diamondbacks have, and I wouldn't be shocked if they ended up trading him this offseason, because that's normally what the Diamondbacks do with their really good players, is they have a really good player, he looks like you should build the team around, and then the next season or two, they end up trading him or just releasing him. So expect to see Zach Gallen playing for a new team in the next couple of seasons. So let's catch up on what the playoff picture is looking like, since we only have about a month left of baseball. Right now, the AL, we've got the three division leaders right now in the AL West, the Houston Astros. They would be the number one overall seed with an 88-49 record. Right now, they currently hold an 11-game lead over the Seattle Mariners in their division. So basically, the Astros had their division locked up unless they just really, really fall apart. Then in the AL East, you've got the Yankees with an 83-55 record. But Tampa Bay has been slowly climbing up. Now, they're still 4.5 games back. The Yankees, they seem to, I wouldn't say they've gotten back on track, but they are playing a lot better baseball right now. But Tampa Bay is creeping up slowly on them. And then in the AL Central, the Cleveland Guardians have a lead. Their overall record is 70-65 right now. The Minnesota Twins are a game and a half back of them in the Central. So that's a close race right there. And then currently, the top three wild card teams are the Tampa Bay Rays, the Seattle Mariners, and the Toronto Blue Jays, with the Baltimore Orioles with they're 4.5 games back of the wild card spot. And they're really, at this current point in time, they were really the only team on the outside looking in that has the potential to maybe sneak in and steal one of those last spots in the wild card. Then turning over to the NL in the NL West, the number one team, actually not just the number one team in the National League, but also the number one team in overall baseball right now, are the stupid-ass Los Angeles Dodgers, 94-42 record. Yeah, 94 wins. They are the only team right now in MLB with over 90 wins, so congratulations to those assholes. They currently have a 19-game lead over the San Diego Padres in the West, so they obviously have their division intact as well, unless they completely crumble, and they would have to literally not win another game the rest of the month, and even then, they may still end up winning that division. Then moving over to the NL East, the New York Mets have an 87-51 record. They currently hold a slim half-game lead over the Atlanta Braves in that division, and it's going to be a battle between those two. I just see it being a battle in the NL East where this could come down to the very last game of the season of who wins that division. And then in the NL Central, the St. Louis Cardinals have a stranglehold on this division as well. They have an 81-57 record and currently eight-game lead over the Milwaukee Brewers. Who have really been, you know, they started the season off really strong and they've really just fallen apart as the season's drawn on. And the three wild card leaders right now are the Atlanta Braves, the San Diego Padres, and the Philadelphia Phillies. And really the only team on the outside of the wild card that could potentially maybe sneak in would be the Milwaukee Brewers. They are only 2.5 games out of that final wild card spot. So that's how the playoff picture is looking right now for baseball. Then just to highlight a couple of players, you know, Aaron Judge, he has had such a phenomenal season. In my personal opinion, he is absolutely the MVP in the American League. Right now, he has a 302 batting average with 55 home runs, which leads the league, and then 118 RBIs, which also leads the league. Then in the National League, I think the NL MVP should be Paul Goldschmidt. He leads the league with a 328 batting average, and he also has 35 home runs and 109 RBI. Then as far as pitching goes, my AL Cy Young Award winner would be Justin Verlander. Right now, he's got a 16-3 record with a 1.84 ERA, which is the lowest in the league right now. And then I don't know if I would necessarily say he would be my NL Cy Young pick. My Cy Young pick at this point would probably be Tony Gonsolin of the Dodgers. But right now, Juan Urias Julio Urias of the Dodgers as well. He is pitching. He's been having a phenomenal season, and he's right now the tops in the NL as far as pitching goes. He's got a 15-7 record with a 2.29 ERA, which is it's one of the lowest. I know it's one of the top, definitely top five lowest ERAs in the league. So he's having a phenomenal season. But if I were to pick my Cy Young Award winner, it's probably would be Gonsolin just because of the season he's had. But Urias is right up there with him. And now we actually have some football to discuss. Let's first discuss college football because we had a whole last week was the beginning of college football. We had some crazy games last weekend. And so let's go ahead. And I'm not going to do a rundown of the entire top 25 in college football every week. I'm probably just going to do the top 10 because I feel like that's what matters the most. So let's kick it off with number one this week is once again Alabama. They're 1-0. Last weekend they completely demolished Utah State 55-0. This weekend they are coming to Austin, motherfuckers. This is the big game. Right now, tickets are currently on the market for like $6,500 to try and get into this game. So it is a crazy. This is a football town. Austin loves Longhorns. And even when we're shitty, Austin is all about the Longhorns. And when Alabama's coming to town, this shit sold out in like 10 minutes when these tickets went on sale. So it's going to be a big game. Texas is coming off of a big win last week as well. They just played Louisiana Monroe, so it's not like they played some powerhouse team, but they kicked their ass. And they looked pretty good doing it, especially compared to what the Longhorns have looked like over the last couple of seasons. So I do expect the Longhorns to put up a fight. I think it should be at least a game for at least the first half. But I do expect Alabama to get the win. And I wouldn't be shocked if it's like close to start and then Alabama just starts pulling away as the second half rolls on. But it would be really awesome to see the Longhorns upset Alabama, but that's not what I'm counting on. Then at number two in college football, we've got the Georgia Bulldogs. Last week, they demolished Oregon 49-3. This week, they play Samford, so it should be another ass-kicking. Then at number three, we've got Ohio State, who won a real close matchup between Notre Dame. I mean, the score was only 21-10, but really Ohio State dominated the game. They've got Arkansas State this weekend. Then Michigan comes in at number four. They dominated CSU 51-7 last week, and then they play Hawaii this week. Then at number five, you've got Clemson. They stomped Georgia Tech into the ground 41-10. They've got Furman this week, so they should they should maintain their position in the top 10 next week. Then at number six, we've got Texas A&M, who shut out SHSU 31-0. They've got Appalachian State this week. Then at number seven, you've got Oklahoma, who killed UTEP 45-13 last week. They've got Kent State this week. Then at number eight, you've got Notre Dame, which I don't know how they're still at number eight with that loss to OSU, but they've got Marshall coming up this week. Then at number nine, you've got Baylor. They killed Albany last week, 69-10. They've got BYU coming into town this week. They're going to BYU. And BYU is actually ranked 21 and Baylor's 9. So this should actually be a pretty solid game. Although I expect Baylor to get the win. And then rounding out the top 10, you got USC, who absolutely obliterated Rice 66-14. But they do have a big game this weekend. They will be at Stanford this weekend. So that's the way the college football top 20 or the top 10 comes out this week. And last night was the beginning of football season. We finally have football upon us. If you want to check out every Wednesday, I'm going to be doing head-to-head picks versus my friend Simon Ruvalcaba on his podcast, Sports View with Simon Ruvalcaba. Now, I don't know what it's looking like as of this recording at the current moment that I'm recording this, but he did post it up on Wednesday. It was supposed to be a two-parter because we kind of went over with our picks. And it's supposed to be a two-part episode, but if you went to go listen to episode one or part one of our head-to-head this week, the audio doesn't come in. So hopefully Simon's going to fix that any time now. So if you were wondering what's going on with that, we're just having some technical difficulties, which should be fixed. And once they're fixed, I will have both part one and part two posted on my website along with today's episode on katietropp.net. So if you want to check those out, like I said, every Wednesday we're going to be doing head-to-head. I am the defending champion. I kicked Simon's ass last year at head-to-head. So we'll see what we do this year. I am up on him right now 1-0 because he took the Rams last night and I took the Bills. So that's how we're looking right now. Also, every Monday, I'm going to be doing a segment with on his show as well called Trop It Like It's Hot, where we just I usually pick one sports topic and then we just kind of go from there. So if you want to listen to me talk some more sports, it's going to be every Monday and Wednesday I'll be on his show. Then every Monday and Wednesday and Friday I'll be doing my show, because like I said, I'm now adding a Wednesday show so I can do Trop 10 Power Rankings on the NFL. Last night we did have the first game, Thursday Night Football. It's going to be on Amazon Prime from now on, but last night they started off with NBC because it's the kickoff. Of course, they had to bore me to death with the stupid-ass Black National Anthem and the regular National Anthem because, you know, that's how we do. We have to put that mentally challenged pomp and circumstance out there, because who gives a shit about that? But let's pretend we do. And then, of course, we had stupid, idiotic protesters come in and set off some pink flares for some whatever dumbass fucking reasons they had. So thanks for you and your stupid, idiotic political stance. It was hilarious to see the footage of them get immediately tackled on the field as soon as they ran out there. So way to make your point, retards. But anyways, the actual game, it actually started out pretty good, but the Bills ran away with it. The final score ended up being 31-10 with the Buffalo Bills running away with this game. Josh Allen had a great game. He only had 5 incompletions. He went 26 for 31 with 297 yards, 56 rushing yards, 3 passing touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. So he had a hell of a night. Matt Stafford was sacked 7 times last night. So the Buffalo defense is good. And I'm not shocked that they had a lot of sacks on him. But one thing to look at with the Rams as the season goes on is you gotta look at. I already thought their ground attack was very weak. I don't really think the strength for the Rams this year is going to be on the ground. It's going to be through the air. But also you got to take a look at that offensive line, because you know, they had their main offensive lineman Andrew Whitworth, who's been their power horse or their workhorse of the offensive line for many years now. He retired, so I have a feeling that's going to be a big deal and a big weakness for the Rams this year, and it showed last night. Now, granted, it is week one, so some things in week one you can't really. They still have to work their way into playing on the field. I mean, it's week one. And, you know, the Bills had a couple of stupid turnovers at the beginning of the game, which I expected because it's the first game. You got to work out the kinks. You got to get into the mode. So usually the first month of football is kind of sloppy. But other than those couple of turnovers that the Bills have, the Bills look like a damn good team, and they played a good team too. So to start the season off the way the Bills did last night, that's a great start for them. We'll see how they do the rest of the season. You know, if you listen to my my predictions from past episodes, my Super Bowl pick this year is the Buffalo Bills. So I'm not surprised with what happened last night, but that's how we started the season off. So now let's get to the rest of the weekend's games. Starting with the New Orleans Saints at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the New Orleans Saints are a 5.5-point favorite. I really don't expect much from the Falcons this season. I actually expect the Falcons to be one of the worst teams this season. I expect them to be that team where we're wondering when they're eventually going to get a win. And when they do get a win, it's probably going to be 1, maybe 2 wins this season. They really don't have much to discuss as a team. Whereas the Saints, they're not that good either, but they do. I think they're a much better team than Atlanta. So I expect this to be a good game from the Saints, a bad one from the Falcons, something like a 21-7 win from the New Orleans Saints. Then you've got the San Francisco 49ers at the Chicago Bears. Right now, the 49ers are a 6.5-point favorite. We did hear news this week that apparently Trey Lance is not happy that the Niners are keeping Jimmy Garoppolo, which I can't say I blame him, because you're just kind of really not putting your faith in the young quarterback, which you really need to do. And so we'll see how that pans out for the rest of the season. But as far as this weekend goes, I don't think it's going to be a big deal, just because the Chicago Bears, they're not a good team at all. I'm not expecting much from them, especially offensively. They have a horrible offensive line. They have no wide receivers. They really don't have any running backs to speak of. So Justin Fields is going to have a really long season. I expect the 49ers to win this one 20-7. Then the next matchup is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Bengals are a 6.5-point favorite. I expect the Bengals to pretty much roll over Pittsburgh in this one. I expect them to have a really long season. I expect them to struggle, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, there aren't a lot of questions. You know, they've got T.J. Watt, the defending defensive player of the year. He's just a beast. Their secondary is really good. So I expect typical Pittsburgh defense, but offensively, I think they're going to struggle. I think this is going to be a year where they're back and forth with quarterbacks. Whereas the Bengals, I don't think the Bengals are going to be as good as they were last year. I expect them to have their struggles as well, but against the Steelers, I think they're going to win. And I think they'll win pretty easily, again, probably something like 24-10. Then we've got New England Patriots at the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the Dolphins are a 2.5-point favorite. I'm also not expecting much from the New England Patriots this year. I think this is going to be a very down year that the Patriots fans aren't used to. And I think the Dolphins are actually going to have a pretty good year. I don't think they're going to be one of the most dominating teams, but I think they're going to have their moments this year, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And they've got a lot of speed on offense, and so I expect them, and they do play New England really well. So I've got Miami winning this one, probably a close one, 20-10. Then Baltimore Ravens at the New York Jets. Right now, the Baltimore Ravens are a 6.5-point favorite. You know, the Jets have already lost Zach Wilson for the first four games of the season, so you got Joe Flacco as your quarterback. I don't know how much more that guy's got in him, although he is facing his old team, Baltimore, so he might have a little extra extra motivation in this game. But Baltimore overall is the much better team. They have a great defense, a solid offensive line. Lamar Jackson's coming in with a lot more muscle, so he's looking good, ready to go. And I actually, Baltimore the last couple of seasons has really, their first game of the season has been like a huge blowout where they've scored a bunch of points. So I expect the same in this game. I kind of expect them to win this game something like 41-7. Then you've got the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Washington Commanders. Right now, the Commanders are a 3.5-point favorite, but I'm actually going with the upset in this game. I for some reason, you know, I don't believe, obviously, I hate the Commanders because I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, so I'm going to always pick against them when I can. But you know, they've had so much turmoil this offseason, not only with just the owner and the front office and all the issues that have gone on up there with all the lawsuits. But, you know, they released one of their coaches in the offseason, like right before training camp started. And there's just been so much disarray with this team. You really don't know what's going on with them. Whereas I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are moving in the right direction. I think Doug Peterson was a great pickup for them. I also think they made the right moves to make Trevor Lawrence a better quarterback. You know, the offensive line, they built that up a little bit during the offseason. They got him a couple of receivers. They've got ETN coming back as their running back this year. So I think Jacksonville should be a pretty decent team. I kind of expect them to hover around 500, but I'm taking the upset in this one, and I think Jacksonville's going to get the win over Washington 21-20. You got the Cleveland Browns at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Panthers are a 2.5-point favorite. This is going to be the Baker Mayfield revenge. You know, he's coming in with a chip on his shoulder because the Browns, they gave up on him this year. They decided to go with Dick Dinglin, Deshaun Watson, who's not going to be playing for the first 11 games this season. So he won't be playing in this game. But Baker Mayfield will be. He is the starting quarterback at the Panthers. I think that's the right route to go just because Sam Darnold, you know, he showed last year he isn't the guy. So you got to go with Baker Mayfield. I think they've got a pretty solid offense. They still have some, they've got a really good defense, but I still think they have some improvements to be made on offense. But I think they're going to take care of Cleveland this week. I don't really expect much from Cleveland this season just because their season's been in turmoil, and it's going to be Jacoby Brissett as their starting quarterback for now until Deshaun Watson gets back, and who the hell knows how well that guy's going to play since he hasn't played football in a year and a half. So I've got the Panthers winning this game because, you know, Baker Mayfield's coming in with the chip on his shoulder. You know he wants to beat the Browns. So I got Carolina winning this one, 27-13. Then we've got the Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans. Right now the Colts are an 8.5-point favorite. The Texans, I also expect them to be about as bad as the Atlanta Falcons this year. Just that kind of team where you're like, when are they ever going to get a win, or are they going to get a win this year? The Colts, I think, made the right move by trading for Matt Ryan and getting rid of Carson Wentz at quarterback. The Colts, they're basically a team that really just was missing a quarterback. You know, they've got a great ground game with Jonathan Taylor at running back. Then they've also got they've got a really solid offensive line, and they've got a pretty good receiving core. I think they could use some improvements at the receiver position. But as long as they have a good offensive line and they're able to keep Matt Ryan standing, I think they'll be very potent offensively. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they should be one of the best defenses in the league. Whereas, like I said, the Texans, I think, are going to be the worst teams in the league. So I think Indianapolis is going to walk into Houston, and I think they're going to annihilate them 38-13. Then you've got Philadelphia Eagles at Detroit Lions. Right now, the Eagles are a 4.5-point favorite, but I'm actually going with the upset in this game. There's always a weird game every single week, and I think this is going to be the weird game of the week where it ends up being an odd score. It might be one of those games where it's just nothing but field goals and maybe like one touchdown here or there, but I think this is going to be a Detroit win, 19-16. And then the afternoon games, we've got the New York Giants at the Tennessee Titans. Right now, the Titans are a 5.5-point favorite, and I expect the Giants to also be one of the worst teams in the league. They really don't have much going on for them offensively, defensively, or special teams. There is nothing positive to say about them. The Titans, I think, made a huge mistake in trading away A.J. Brown because that's a huge weapon for Ryan Tannehill, but they still have Derrick Henry. And they are playing the Giants at home, so I expect an ass-whooping by the Titans, 42-10. Then you've got the Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Packers have a 1.5-point, they're a 1.5-point favorite. This is a division battle. I expect both of these teams to make the playoffs. And a lot of people, I noticed not a lot of people are talking about the Packers this offseason. I think a lot of that has to do with them trading away Davante Adams. But it's kind of like, did y'all forget that Aaron Rodgers is still the quarterback? If you look at the history of Aaron Rodgers, it looks like he has mediocre receivers, he is able to find a receiver on the roster and get great chemistry with him, and that's how a Davante Adams is formed. I'm not saying that Davante Adams is not a good receiver without Aaron Rodgers. He sure is. But I think Aaron Rodgers is going to work well with what he's got. And I'm even looking at Romeo Doubs as being probably the next number one receiver for the Packers. But you also got to take a look at, they also have Aaron Jones in the backfield as well. So the Packers have plenty of offensive weapons, and you really can't go wrong with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. If you've got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, you basically are a contender unless he gets injured or whatever. The Vikings, they're a weird team. You never know what to expect from them. On paper, offensively, they should be a damn good team. You know, you've got Justin Jefferson coming off of a spectacular season. You've got Adam Thielen coming off of an injury-prone season, but he's healthy now. So with the two of them healthy and then Dalvin Cook healthy as well, this should be a very potent offense. It's just defensively, I think, is going to be their weakness. In this matchup, I just expect Green Bay to get the best of them. I see it being a close game just because it's Packers versus Vikings, but I think the Packers will get the win 23-20. Then the Kansas City Chiefs at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Chiefs are a 4.5-point favorite. I see this just being kind of a matchup where I do expect the Cardinals to have a pretty good season. The Chiefs, I actually expect them to have a down season. But this is a matchup where I just kind of see the Chiefs coming right out the gate and just having a really good game and dominating Arizona and just kind of putting up this smoke screen of, oh, we're a really good team. And then as the season goes on, I think Kansas City's going to start to falter. And I just think Arizona, they're coming off of a lot of drama this season. Plus, no DeAndre Hopkins is going to affect their offense in one way or the other. So I've got Kansas City winning this one 27-20. And then last game of the afternoon is the Las Vegas Raiders at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Chargers are a 3.5-point favorite. I like all the moves that the Raiders made this offseason, especially on offense. Their defense is very, very suspect, but offensively, they're intact. You know, Derek Carr now has a number one receiver to throw to, somebody who he already is familiar with, somebody who already has a rep with, and that is his old college buddy, Devontae Adams. So I expect the Raiders' offense to be electric and high-flying. Same with the Chargers, though. But the Chargers' improvements they made this offseason were on defense. You know, they traded for Khalil Mack, so now they've got Mack on one side and Bosa on the other, so look out for that front seven right there. Then you've got J.C. Jackson, who's not going to play in this weekend's game, but once he's back, he was one of the top cornerbacks last year, and he's a huge ball hawk. So I really expect the Chargers to be great offensively, but to take a step forward defensively. And I think they're going to be a dominating team. But I do expect this game in particular to be an offensive battle. And I think it's going to be a Chargers win 35-31. Then the Sunday night game is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at my Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 1.5-point favorite. If you know, I love the Dallas Cowboys. They are my life. But if you also know and you've been listening to this show, you know I love Tom Brady. I'm a huge Tom Brady fan. I respect the hell out of Tom Brady and his career. And I even have Tom Brady gear that I wear. I have a tank top. It has a goat on it that says, has a number 12 on the goat, and it says Tampa Bay above it because I'm obsessed with the name of Tampa Bay, even though it sounds stupid as fuck, but I'm obsessed with it for some reason. And then I also have a Tom Brady Tampa Bay Bucks jersey. But since I knew the Cowboys were playing the Buccaneers this week, I can't wear either of those items. As a matter of fact, I've made sure to not wear them the last month just because I don't want to give the Buccaneers any type of good juju at all. Also, I'm going as far as when I was in Tucson, I ended up buying some weed that's called Golden Goat. I'm not even smoking that. I was going to start with that because I bought a few strains of weed while I was in Tucson, and one of them was that, and then I bought a bunch of others as well, and I was like, no, I'm not starting with Golden Goat because Tom Brady's the GOAT, and I'm not even giving him that type of juju. Now, I don't believe in luck. I'm not a stupid-stitious person. As a matter of fact, I think all that shit's stupid. I know I don't affect the game in any way, shape, or form. The only thing that affects the game are the players and coaches involved in that game. That is all that affects it. But me being just a sports fan and just not wanting to support the opposing team against my team this week, I've refrained from all Tom Brady memorabilia and Tom Brady shit this week just because I don't want to give him any more good juju than he needs. Because we already know he's the GOAT. We already know. I know a lot of people are making a big deal about that 11 days he took off from training camp. I was not. He's Tom Brady. I never questioned his work ethic. I never has questioned his will to win. And I hope the Dallas Cowboys are not sleeping on him either. Now, I doubt they are. I think at this point, nobody sleeps on Tom Brady anymore. And if you do, you're a fucking idiot because he's going to rip your throat out. Or as Micah Parsons put it this week, he wants to stomp on your throat like you're a roach. So I do expect a pretty solid game from the Buccaneers, but I do expect a solid game from the Cowboys. Whoever wins this game, it's going to be a close battle. I expect it to be similar to last year's week one matchup against the two of them, where it was basically a back-and-forth affair, and really the Cowboys cost themselves with their stupid mistakes and a missed field goal. So hopefully this year they're able to get those mistakes shored up. But defensively, the Cowboys, I expect them to be one of the best defenses in the league. And with Tampa Bay and their offensive line being a little bit shaky at this current point in time, I really expect the Cowboys front seven to get at Tom Brady, give him happy feet, and basically that be the difference in this game. And I've got the Cowboys winning this close matchup, 28-24. Wouldn't be shocked if it's one of those kind of like last-second field goals or touchdowns to win the game. But I do have faith in my Dallas Cowboys in this one. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if they lose, of course. But I do think they're going to go on and upset Tampa Bay this week. So those are my predictions for week one. Of course, we'll talk about the Monday night game on Monday's show. But it is so fucking fantastic to finally have some football back. I'll be doing my favorite thing, which is Sundays. I will get up. I will get ready. I will get my coffee. I will smoke my first couple of bowls of the day. I will get my fantasy teams all ready. And I just am going to be doing my favorite thing ever. Smoking weed all day. Watching football. Paying attention to what my fantasy football teams are doing. And just having a jolly old Sunday. So I hope you all enjoy the great weekend full of sports, because not only do we have baseball, but we also got stacked with college football, stacked with pro football, and hell, we even got some UFC. I didn't talk about the UFC fight this week because, you know, it should be a pretty good matchup. Nate Diaz, I don't have anything against him. He's not like one of my favorite fighters, but he's not a fighter who I look out for. It's probably going to be his last fight in UFC because, you know, he and Dana White have been going back and forth with each other over pay and all that shit. But there's a big fight this weekend. As a matter of fact, I think right before I got on, I saw the headline that Diaz's opponent didn't make weight. So we'll see what happens with that. But we've got a full weekend stacked of sports. And it's just fucking great. So I hope you all enjoy whatever sport you're watching. I'll be watching like 3, 4. Fuck, I don't know. I'm going to be sports in fucking sports heaven all weekend. So I hope you enjoy football as much as I do. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.